Welcome back to He Called Me Faithful. I have my faithful mic, and yeah, I'm just back. So I had done those first original six episodes that I had felt to do back in the fall, and then after that I just got busy like with some work stuff and homeschool and all the other things, and just had other things that I felt like I was supposed to prioritize. In January, I felt that I was supposed to start doing this again, and I had a few like book ideas that I wanted to share, and I did not end up doing it. So here we are in the summer, almost half a year later. But again, grace of God, it's okay. Like sometimes He'll give us a dream or something else on our heart, and then there's still opportunities later, and He always, in my experience, blesses it later as well. Obviously, it's best when we do things, I feel like, well, not always right away. Sometimes God does tell you to wait, and you just have certain pieces of what you're supposed to do next. So there is timing in that too, and seasons in that. But in this case, I do feel like I had like a full vision of what it was supposed to be in the winter. So this case, it wasn't one of those go and wait type situations where God gives you a dream and then tells you to wait. This was a like, let's just go kind of thing. So anyway, don't mind me, I'm just making some dinner for my children. I've been delaying this because it's hard to just find a time to just sit down. In my mind, I'm like, oh, I'll just be all cozy and be sitting with food, or not food, sorry, with like a coffee or a tea and just doing this and making it casual. But I just haven't really found that time. The kids are usually around and other things. This week, two of them are at camp, two different camps, and then I have the youngest, but she's having quiet time right now. So this is just real life, and this is the way that my podcast might have to be. And there's gonna be pauses, like right now I just need to grab some milk, so just a sec. So this is my milk jug right now. The milk we got, the carton broke, and I didn't have, my milk jug is for bags. I didn't have anything to put it in, so I am using this giant cup, and I just spilt a little bit all over the oven as well. Making it happen, I'm making Alfredo sauce. It's one of those things in life where in my head, I always build things up that I don't know how to do as like this big task. But then as soon as I've learned how to do it, I'm a visual learner, so as soon as I've seen it and learned how to do it, then I can do it myself. So I had a friend and she made us Alfredo, and I was like, that's actually so easy to make your own sauce, and I don't like buying the canned sauces. There's just so many preservatives in a lot of them, it's hard to know what ingredients are all in it. So I'd rather make from scratch, but I never really was taught how. So it's all stuff that I've had to self-learn now that I'm older and a mom and a wife, all these things. So the Alfredo though is for the kids and me, not my husband. He's lactose intolerant, so that was also a learning curve. I love cheese, and when we got married, all I knew how to make was cheese-based dishes. But yeah, he couldn't have any of that, so I had to learn how to like cook meat properly and flavor things, and I'm still learning, and he's actually taught me a lot. He's actually a really good cook. So when we did the shoe game at our wedding, it was who's gonna be the one cooking, and we both put up his shoe because he is the good cook. However, I am the one home, and for him, yeah, it's more if he has time, and so it's very rare that he does the full meal, so I've had to learn how to be the cook in the family, which is beautiful and fun and a blessing, and I actually love it once I know how. It's the thought of it that's like daunting for me often, and I want to make things yummy, and I want, especially if I'm hosting, like I want people to enjoy whatever I'm making, and just bless people with food and hosting and hospitality. I love doing those things. So it's been a learning curve, and something I've learned to love is cooking. So I do enjoy it now, and we're getting it. Anyway, so tonight we're having Alfredo because my husband will be out late. So I have to go pick up one of my daughters from her camp in about 20 minutes. So we'll see how far I get in this podcast slash vlog slash whatever it's gonna end up being, now that I'm not like sitting in a formal podcast setting like my original kind of view. This might turn into more of vlog style things, but this is just something that I love to do. I love to make videos, and I love to, yeah, create, be creative. So I'm just gonna keep rolling and see what happens. Hi Kaya, did you me talking. Oh, it smells so good. Homemade. It's always the best. You want to say hi? Good job. And I have my awesome ingredients from the main ingredient. If you were in Peterborough area, this is their Italian blend. We love to put it in pastas and sauces, and they just have the best stuff and are all about making things yourself and making things easy for you to learn, be healthier. So check out the main ingredient, Shadow. Now I want to talk about the books. So the main two books that I want to talk about, I actually can't find. They're on my shelf somewhere. Oh, there it is, hang on. There are so many good Christian books out there. When I first became a Christian, though, I was 22, and the very first Christian book I read was Francis Chan, Crazy Love. I do not have it in my stack here, but it was amazing. It was super foundational for me. It's just about the love of God and actually how vast and deep and wide His love is. It's compared to an ocean. Francis Chan has this beautiful analogy, which actually, hang on, I'll get a cup. Okay. He uses a can, but I'm going to use a cup. So the analogy basically is, if I scoop this cup in the ocean and fill it up, even right to the top with water, there's some water in it now, probably can't see, but even if I had it full to the top of water, would that even slightly compare to the ocean? If I came up to you and was like, guys, like, the ocean is so beautiful, these are all the parts of it, like, it's so life-giving, all these things, and I'm full of it with this cup. I have this cup and I show you and I'm like, guys, look, this is the ocean. You'd be like, cool, like still awesome, water, refreshing, all these things, but it doesn't even come close to comparing to actually experiencing the ocean yourself and the vastness of it. And even if you experience it, even if you're standing on the edge of the ocean or even swimming in the ocean as the little humans we are, we could never experience the entirety of the vastness and the depth and the width of the ocean. And so he compares that to God's love. Like, there's always more for us throughout our entire life here on earth. And when we get to heaven, things will be to completion. But while we're on earth, there's always more to discover, always a deeper depth, always a new place to go. So it's just a really beautiful analogy of how deep and wide God's love is for us, and that even no matter how great of a Christian you are, even if you're like the most kind, the most Holy Spirit filled, all these things of God, we still come nowhere to comparing to someone actually knowing God themselves. And that's why we're supposed to be a vessel to help bring people to God, to Jesus, to our Maker. It's never supposed to be about us or a leader or a platform or any of these things, or music even, or just all these pedestals that people get put on sometimes, that we're all only supposed to be a vessel to point back to Jesus and to get people to get their eyes fixed back on Jesus. And Crazy Love just does such a great job, both for yourself, like just finding that healing and purpose and value in that love, knowing how loved you are, and that Jesus would have died on the cross even just for the one, right? Even just for you, just for me, he would have died on the cross. And that revelation, when it really hits you, is so life-giving and really then allows you, once you've been loved and feeling God's love, it allows you then to pour out, right? And this is a regular thing. So even if I get filled with God's love today, tomorrow's a new day. And today I might have poured out a little bit of this water for my kids, for my husband, for my friends, for wherever I am, right? So it gets depleted and it gets refreshed when we spend time in God's presence back in the ocean, when we dive into that place and just sit in His presence and let Him wash over us, show us how loved we are, all of these things. So that is why the Bible says too, God's mercies are new every day, because we actually need Him every day and we need His mercy every day. We're always growing, we need grace, we need His love. And to truly love others, we need to be filled with Him first, or else we tend to act more in our flesh, and it's not always out of the right place in our heart. So it's so important to be seeking God, the ocean, that way. The next book I want to talk about is The Reason for God by Timothy Keller, and my kids have put one of the I Am Second stickers on there. It's It's a gospel three circle sharing tool that we use. I love this book. This was the second book I read as a Christian, and I told myself I was going to read it every year because it's so good. It goes over all the common questions that people have, especially people who maybe have been hurt by the church or just like don't understand Christianity. Like, why does God allow suffering in the world if he's a good God? How could a loving God send people to hell? Why isn't Christianity more inclusive? How can there be only one true religion? Why have so many wars been fought in the name of God? All of these things. And this book answers all of those questions. It is so, so good. And I need to read it again because I haven't read it fully since that very first time. And I just remember it just rocked me. So I'm going to read this again. And you should read it too. It makes it easier to have those conversations with the loved ones in your lives or even strangers who ask these really good questions. This book is more of a fun read if you like a story more so than kind of like information and the theology type stuff. Redeeming Love by Francine Rivers. I know a lot of people probably read this and heard of it, or at least heard of Francine Rivers. But this book was also so, so beautiful. So it's based off the Bible story of Hosea and Gomer. And it's a beautiful story, just showing, again, how both the Israelites and us, we constantly get pulled away from God or turn to idols or turn to other things, and then we end up coming back. And, well, God woos us back. He woos us back, and he's faithful. And I love this book so much because it related to my story, too, of unfaithfulness to God. But one of the first verses as well that I learned was in Timothy when it says, even if we are unfaithful, he will remain faithful, for he cannot be false to himself. And you really see that through this book, this story of this man who goes out and God tells him basically to marry this prostitute. And it's just a beautiful story. It really touches the heart. It broke my heart too, because it really just gives you such insight into God's love for us and what he would do for us and the lengths he goes for us and the hurt that he has, right? When just like Hosea, the man in this, his name's Michael Hosea in this book, and when she, the lady, her name is Angel, and when she leaves him each time, you really see him struggle and his heart and him like, oh, like, is this really what I'm supposed to do? Like, how can I stay here? Like, this woman keeps like hurting me, but he loves her so much. God gave him such a love for her so that he could keep pursuing her and stay faithful and stay in that place of hope and prayer and submission to God and what he called him to, even with her going through this journey of healing throughout the book, slowly being healed from her past traumas and these identities that were put on her. It is a really good book and really touching, and you'll probably cry in the best way. And it will also make you just feel closer to God's heart for us and just how patient he is and gracious he is and loving he is, even when we don't deserve it, even when we keep turning our back or turning a different way. So it's such a beautiful story and you will love it. And then I have some awesome friends who have written some awesome books. One that I do not have in front of me right now either. My sister wrote one actually, and it's kind of a devotion style one. It's called Connect with God. She just has great exercises in it. If you're not used to hearing God's voice or just spending that quiet time with him or seeking his will and heart and answers on things, then that is a great place to do that. So check it out. Another one is by one of my friends, Curtis Hartshorn. He wrote Really, Really Free. He has an updated version now too, and I don't know if it's live yet, but this book is also amazing. He goes over so many great topics just about how we are really, really free through Christ and how when Christ died on the cross, we actually have taken on his righteousness. So we actually no longer have to have our sinful nature attached from us. It's actually been removed from us. And then it's more our habits and our thoughts and our actions that need to now come in line with our new identity. So he outlines that so well. And one of the most memorable parts that you will really enjoy is chapter 6, I think this is, when he talks about Romans 6, 7, and 8. So often Romans 7 is quoted when Paul says that nothing good lives in him and that he has a sinful nature and that he wants to do what's right, but he can't. So many preachers quote on this to kind of excuse bad behavior or sinful behavior in the church, or to allow it and be like, it's okay, we're always going to struggle, we're always going to have this. But really, Curtis just outlines it so well when you look at the context, not just 7, but read 6 and 8 as well. You actually see how clear it is that Paul's actually talking about his life before, his life when he was living under the law, and then now, in both in 6 prefacing it, and then 8 following up it, it makes it so clear. He says, like, hallelujah, that is no longer the way things are. So I'm just going to read you a quote from it. So he just says, I hope you are seeing the clear connection. Paul says to the believers in Rome and to all believers that we are no longer under the power of sin, and we are no longer bound to sinful nature. We have been set free through Christ. This should cause an amazing sense of liberty to rise up in our hearts. At one point in time, like Paul, we could say, and I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what's right, but I can't. That was Romans 7:18. Like a prisoner in chains, with an open door in front of us, we could at one point see freedom, but we were powerless to rise up and walk through it. And this is why we needed a Savior. We could not do the good that God presented to us. But then God did something we could not do on our own. For when he died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. That verse is Romans 6, verse 7. When Christ died, our old sinful selves died, and by grace the chains of sin were broken. It wasn't just the penalty of sin that was rendered obsolete on the cross of Christ. It was the power of sin too. We now can do the good we want to do. We can stand up and walk through the door of freedom. We can now answer the question, who will deliver me from this body of death? Romans 7:24. And like Paul, we can praise God, saying thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 7:25. We not only have the status of free, but we can actually live really, really free. So yeah, he goes into way more detail than that and just really hammers the point home with a lot of Bible references, and it's just so good. Just such a good reminder that we're actually not meant to live in bondage and feel stuck in our Christian walk, as a lot of kind of legacy Christians sometimes are raised thinking that way. But Christ actually died so that we could be really, really free and really, really loved and really, really known and really, really joyful, and just all of these things that Jesus died for. He didn't die for us to kind of stay stuck and just be chilling there. So he wants us to step into the new identity we have in him, take authority with the Holy Spirit over the atmosphere, over spiritual warfare, over our families, over our homes. We actually have that authority in us. The things that Christ did on earth, it says we will do those things and greater. So we have the power of Christ in us. We just need to submit to the Holy Spirit, seek his will, and obey when he tells us to do things, and take up like our sword and shield and join like this fight. Like, it's a fight here on earth. It's a spiritual battle of good and evil. That's why all the movies and books and shows, like, it's knitted through our entire culture, no matter who someone is or what their beliefs are. We love superhero movies and things like that, and it's because it's literally in our DNA. Like, Jesus is the greatest superhero. He's where that storyline started. It started with Jesus. He's the only true superhero. So all of these things in our culture, the more you learn about Jesus and the Bible and history, it just becomes more and more clear, like, how everything truly does point to Jesus, which is so beautiful. Once you know that, and the freedom and peace that comes with knowing that, and then knowing him and knowing his love for you and getting to love him back and worship him, and then just seeing the fruits pour out of that. It's such a beautiful design that God created from the beginning, and we were meant to be loved and to love. And so anyway, this is a great book. Another fun one, just to get you in the posture of just reverence for God and just being in awe of God, is The Awe of God by John Bevere. This is also a really, really great read, and it's kind of devotional style. So you can read it slowly, just like one chapter a day. It has declarations in it as well, and also pondering moments too. And it just gets your heart and mind in that place of reverence and awe, which when we come into the Lord's presence, when we're doing quiet time or devotions, and we start with that mindset of just the awe of God and who he is, and come from that place of humility and reverence, it actually allows him to speak to us quicker and easier because our heart's already in the right posture. Another awesome one from one of my friends is Intimacy, Intercession, and Increase. My sweet friend, Lyndall. She is from Australia. She works for Youth for Christ, and she is just awesome. So this is another great devotion style book that I would highly recommend. Then we have Five Healthy Habits of the Heart by another good friend, Paul Wegler. And it's just practical principles to revolutionize your life. So he shares a lot of personal stories in here, just about his regular days, just out and about, at work, all of the things, and just how the things that God taught him. Humility, honesty, honor, holding and releasing, and gratitude. And we have Take Back Your Family, Jefferson Bethke. And yeah, it is just so good. It's about embracing the radical Christian framework for creating family teams. So he talks about the difference between a club and a team, and how often in our culture today, family and a house and a home is seen as a club. Like, it's what can you give me? I'm coming here, but it's all about me. Like, what can I get? Whereas we were actually created to operate as a team. Like, we work together, we celebrate the highs together, the lows together. If someone's struggling, we all help them figure out their problem. We're meant to be a family unit, a team, not these individual silos. And that goes for everything in our life, different friendships and church and different community groups that you have. So it just has amazing strategies in here too for changing that in your home. So it just talks about creating a family mission as well, so that can energize you and your kids. So having a goal and a focus, right? That's such a big part of our life. When you have a goal and your eyes set on something, then that's what you achieve for, right? So if we're just going through life kind of just trying to be Christians or good people or whatever, that's not really a very good goal. But again, when you understand the depth of your identity in Christ and then create like a family mission, like your reason for being on earth or in your neighborhood or wherever you may be, having that family mission can help. And then also developing family habits that lead to flourishing and peace. So it leads to peaceful homes to have these family habits, things in place. And you can pick your own. They give really good suggestions in here. But it's so important for kids to have that routine and for us as a family unit to be on the same page and to have these check-in points throughout our week, whatever that may look like, so that we recognize again the connection with each other and that we are a team and just having good healthy habits. And then the last one, my dear friend Adam Shepsky, this is his second book, and I don't know where I put his first book, and I'm actually blanking on what it's called now. I'll put it here. His first book. But his second book just came out. It's called The Fight of God. And it's so amazing. It's just talking about how we're all called to join Jesus in his mission to redeem all things. The Fight of God will call you to action to fulfill God's purpose for your life. This book provides theology and practical steps to join God's work. You will discover how you are to worship. Personal prophetic words and spiritual gifts are ways that God will bring his kingdom to a world in desperate need of his power. So The Fight of God just really talks about kingdom living, kingdom mindset, bringing the kingdom of heaven here on earth. There's a verse in the Bible that says what we bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and what we loose here will be loosed in heaven. So it is our job to actually, again, take charge and to walk in the Holy Spirit's power and accept what Jesus did for us and allow his character and his heart to transform us so that we can become like him and see the world like him and see the lost like him, because Jesus would do anything for that lost sheep. He would put himself in an uncomfortable position. He would share the word on his heart. So this book just really encourages us joining the fight of God, joining God in the fight for souls, fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, because the Bible is very clear that we are all children of God, and he wants every single one of us. So those that don't know him, they actually need to be shared what they need to be told. There's a verse in the Bible that says, how will they know if no one tells them? And how will someone tell them if no one goes, right? So we're actually called to join him on this mission. We're his plan A and his only plan. God moves through people like you and me. He chose to give us the Holy Spirit, give us that power that Christ walked with, and use us as his vessels to reach the lost, because that is the only reason we are still on earth, right? When you think about it, everything else will be better in heaven. evangelism is kind of that only area that is about earth. So our worship will be better in heaven. Community will be better in heaven. Relationships will be better in heaven. Our time with God will be better in heaven. Like, we will be in our fullness and in this beautiful place once we're in heaven. The only area that won't be better in heaven, or that is different now, is reaching the lost. Because the lost, if they are not reached, will not be in heaven. So that is why it is so important that we join God in the fight of God and join him in reaching the lost and join him in whatever capacity that is. Like, it's all so important. Like, praying, interceding for people, asking God what's on his heart, interceding for countries, interceding for our leaders. All these things are so important. And then going out, going when you're at the grocery store, letting God talk to you about people, looking around, looking for those opportunities, looking for open doors, looking for the person who maybe says hi, or that you say hi to, and then that opens the door to share. Or maybe God will give you a word about somebody, saying, like, even just like shoulder, and you're like, hey, do you got anything going on with your shoulder? Like, just testing that stuff out and learning to walk in that and walk in obedience to the Holy Spirit. That's how we grow in that area. It's like a muscle. We have to practice it, right? Just like you have to work out if you want to be more fit. Like, it doesn't just happen overnight or just happen because you desired it, right? It takes practice, diligence, hard work, commitment, all of these things. And that's no different from walking with the Lord and walking in the gifts of the Spirit and in the prophetic and all of these things. And a big part of that is encouraging the body of Christ as well. So whenever you think of somebody, like if someone randomly pops into your head for no reason, text them. Just check in. Be like, hey, I was just thinking about you. Like, how are you doing? Right? That means so much to people. Or if you're with someone and you just have the thought like, oh, they look so nice today. So often we don't share those things, but just get in the habit of sharing, of encouraging, of looking for life-giving words and pulling the gold out of people, noticing things they're doing well. Be like, hey, I noticed how you helped that little boy over there. That was so nice of you. Like, you have such a gift of seeing people and wanting to help, and the gift of mercy, whatever you might see in someone, just calling those things out of them, and then they can think about that and be like, oh, actually, yeah. And it helps people be more intentional in the gifts that God has given them, because God has given us all different gifts and different skills and all of these things, but we are all called to join him. We are all called to be on the fight with God, especially for lost souls, and encouraging each other, our brothers and sisters. We're called to act as a family in unity. That doesn't mean we have to agree on every single little thing, but it means that we put our love for God and our love for brothers and sisters in Christ above the whatever dispute or whatever might be going on. Seeing, keeping our eyes fixed on what's most important, like in Philippians when it says to keep your eyes fixed on what is holy and pure and good. Keep your eyes and mind, doesn't say mind, but we can add that, eyes and mind on such things, right? We want to keep our mind pure. And it says too, to take every thought captive. It's because the enemy is very real, and he's going to try and just plant these little seeds like, oh, I don't feel like doing this today. Or, oh, did you see how that person said that? Like, they must be, or think A, B, and C, right? He just gets in just with these little things. And often as Christians, that's a blind spot. That's where we don't always see. We think sins or the enemy will be obvious, like obvious attacks or obvious ways of coming against us, but often he's very subtle and sneaky, like a snake. He's a sneaky snake, just like in the Garden of Eden, right? He can twist scripture even against us. So it's so important, again, for us to be spending that time in the presence of God, spending that time in worship, spending that time in his word, and asking God to speak to us through it and give us revelation and wisdom from his word. Pray for wisdom like Solomon did. I feel like that's a prayer that I'm always praying, like since becoming a Christian. That's the story that stuck with me the most, was just Solomon asking for wisdom. And I was like, I want that. Like, I want your discernment and your wisdom to know what's right and wrong and what's truth and not. Whether it's popular or not, it doesn't matter. When you know that God is your everything and that his opinion matters more than anyone else in your life, even more than your husband or kids or friends or parents or family, like, God's opinion matters the most. So it's so important that we are walking with him and still respecting, obviously, all of the people around us, especially family and loved ones. But God's approval is the one that matters. And when he asks us to do something, if we are obedient, even when it's hard, even if it's unpopular, like, that is where those treasures are being stored up in heaven for you. You're doing something that's maybe against the grain or not very popular or in secret. Those are the treasures that are stored up in heaven and that God will bestow for you when you get there. So anyway, I hope that was encouraging. This was the first podcast back and there will be more. So thank you so much to the people who have been like, hey, you haven't done a podcast in a while and I want you to do more. So I really appreciate that. Those comments and messages have all meant a lot to me. So thank you for the encouragement. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may he give you peace.